Let's talk about the picture on the cover. Anybody recognize that building? Recognize it without looking at the description at the back? So what building is that? It's the county jail. It's the Lake County Jail. It's the Babcock's Justice Center, right? Or something like that. Down in Waukegan. Now, let me explain the picture, though. There was never a point at which there was, like, a big open sign actually on the jail that probably would cause some concern, right? This picture is from a new photography series I've been trying to work on, where I'm taking pictures of reflections in windows. And so in those reflections, you get what's around, but you also get what's just inside the window. So the open is actually the open-close sign on the hot dog stand right across from the jail. But while taking that picture, then you also get this reflection of the jail. But now let me ask you this. How's that picture make you feel? To see the jail and it say open. How's it make you feel? What's that? Okay, it could be, you might be thinking there's room for more people, open for business. We've got more room. Anybody else have another thought how it makes you feel? What's that? Or it's that the jail's been opened and everybody's being let out. Yeah, that would be pretty uncomfortable, right? We'd get pretty nervous. And we get pretty nervous partly because that's where people are locked up to serve time for crimes, to be punished. There's also kind of this sense of a jail being a place where you lock it and you forget it. You lock people up and you forget about it, but it's a sense of now we have security and safety. And so if it is just open, well, what happens to our security and our safety? Well, you wanted to use that picture today because in Isaiah 42, which where Jesus uses the prophet to speak about the one who would come to be the servant, the Messiah, the Christ, pointing ahead to Jesus. In Isaiah 42, it says that the servant will come and bring the prisoners out from the dungeon, to bring the prisoners out from the darkness. And kind of when you start to think about that, well, what does that really mean? Does it mean that we're just going to open up the jails? Or if we follow Jesus, that we should just try to get the jails to be all open? But actually, we got to look at this in a broader sense. Obviously, we're not going to just go march down to Waukegan and say, we want the jails to be open, just let everybody out, right? But as we think about Isaiah 42, and really as we think about what Jesus came to do, part of this is to see a bigger picture. It's to have something one theologian calls hopeful imagination. Hopeful imagination. Not in the sense of imagination like coming up with a fairy tale. Imagination to be able to see things that we can't see right now. Hopeful for things that we can't see right now, but that God has promised that he is going to bring about. Let's go to Isaiah 42, and I'll explain more about what I'm saying, okay? And we'll come back to the jail also. Isaiah 42 is about hopeful imagination. The God, through the prophet, is painting a picture of what God will do, what God can do and will do. And that's in contrast to the visible reality, right? Hopeful imagination in contrast to the visible reality. Here was the visible reality of the people. When Isaiah wrote these words, the people who heard them were either anticipating that they would be conquered and sent to exile, or they were already in exile. They were already losing their land, their sovereignty, their freedom. They were going to be deported and sent to Babylon. They were taken away from their homeland. They were not having any of the same kind of freedoms that they were used to. They were going to be having trouble to figure out how to worship their God because they wouldn't be in Jerusalem at the temple. That was their visible reality. And along comes God in Isaiah, and he says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." Look at Isaiah. What page is that? I always forget to look at the page. What is it? Look on page 6. So they're seeing life through this way of we're going to be conquered, we're going to be punished for our sins, we are losing so much, and along comes the prophet, and God says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Jump down to verse 6. And he's still speaking. He's speaking about the servant. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. And before those new things spring forth, I tell you of them." So imagine, you're in exile. You've been taken away from your home. You have no freedom to go back to your home. And the prophet comes up and says, "Here's what God says. God says he's doing a new thing. God says he's going to do incredible things, things we can't hardly imagine. The blind people will have sight, and prisoners will be let go. Like, we won't need prisons." But your visible reality is, you're thinking, that's impossible. I can't see any of that. I see where we're at. We're trapped. We don't have a lot of hope. I don't know what this prophet guy is talking about. But the prophet, fueled by God's Holy Spirit, is calling on the people to have hopeful imagination, to see hope beyond what they can see in front of them. It's beyond our own limited imagination. I mean, without God, without his Spirit, we can't have that same kind of hope. But here comes God to work into our lives, and not only for Israel and Jerusalem way back then, but also into our lives now. He comes into our lives to give us this hopeful imagination, to see beyond what we see right now. Right there at the end of verse 9. Before these new things spring forth, before they show up, right? I tell you of them. That's what the Word of God is doing here in Isaiah. It's also what God is doing when Jesus is baptized. You know, I was talking to the kids, right? And always sort of talking to you at the same time as I talk to the kids, right? But I mean, when I was talking about the baptism, right? Jesus shows up. It's John at the Jordan River, just a regular old river. John's preaching. They have a baptism. And yes, the Father speaks and the dove is there, but when that's all over, it looks like a pretty much just normal humdrum day. You have to have hopeful imagination to see that this Jesus is the servant. This Jesus is the Messiah. This Jesus who is going to make all things new. And yes, we know that Jesus came and did some of these things, right? He gave sight to the blind. He was doing some of these things. He was giving people hope, but he wasn't doing it fully. Not for everyone, not everywhere, not yet. Instead, Jesus came to give people then and now a glimpse of what is to come. This is what he is going to bring about in a full way. When Jesus won't be just responding to problems here and there, but when everything will be transformed and made new. That's hopeful imagination. We can't see it right now, right? We can't see that the world is transformed and that we are transformed and renewed. We can't see it, but through faith, we can have this hopeful imagination. That's what God's word comes along to do. So go back to the picture on the cover. The picture on the cover isn't a suggestion that we should just let everyone out of jail or that we should go easier on crime. Let me repeat that because I was very nervous to put that picture on. In fact, I talked to my friend Matt Kearney. I said, do you think I should use this? But the picture on the cover isn't a suggestion that we should just let everyone out of jail or that we should go easier on crime. Instead, the picture on the cover is hopeful imagination. It's hopeful that one day God's word will fully come true. One day in the new life, in the new world, there won't be a need for jails. Prisoners will be freed, transformed, restored, renewed. And with that, the community, the world, will all be renewed. It's not just the prisoners who are suffering. We also suffer the fact that we have to lock people up and live in fear. One day, we won't need to arrest people or lock people up. It is a hopeful imagination to see that God is going to do this. But the other thing I want you to have is a hopeful imagination in daily life. One day this will fully come true. But what would it mean to live your life each day with a hopeful imagination to see beyond just a few black and white things? To see beyond just lock up or not locked up? What would it mean to have hopeful imagination as you walk through life? I encourage you today to go down and see our new artwork down by the main entrance. It's an artwork called Hope, and it's by Michael Watson. And this description is up there, but let me just read it to you as well. Michael Watson is currently in prison in Illinois, serving a life without parole sentence. And he explains the inspiration for Hope this way. Hope has never been an easy thing for me to hold on to. For so many years, even decades, my life was defined by the absence of hope. Hope was a scary prospect because it meant that I had to find resolve and purpose in my life. So I just resigned myself to having no hope. And I just accepted that my past mistakes had condemned me to an existence filled with pain and loss. Recently, however, I'm starting to learn that there is room for hope in this place, prison. Some individuals have come into my life and opened their hearts, family, and support to me, and they have shown me that although I am responsible for my mistakes, I do not have to be defined by them. Through that understanding, I now have hope. I hope to love, to be a part of something bigger than myself, a family. And most of all, I hope to live the rest of my life making amends for those I have harmed most. Through hope, my life may truly have purpose. It's not about putting an open sign on the prison and letting Michael Watson out. It's about having a hopeful imagination to speak hope to him, that he can have some hope right now, a glimpse of that hope that we can have for eternity. Now, I also know that Michael is struggling about believing in God, and yet somehow he's starting to have hope, and I think I'm hoping, praying, that that leads to more conversation. But do you get it? It's a hopeful imagination where all around him, the visible reality would drum out that hope. Now he has this glimpse of hope. It hasn't been fully transformed. The open sign isn't on the prison, but he has some hope. And it's beginning to change. And as Christians, as believers, we can walk through this life and have hopeful imagination. We can speak that hope into things where it seems like there is no hope. Here's another thing I want to tell you about that picture of the jail. When we think of the jail just locked up, people stuck there so we don't have to deal with them, so that we're safe, think we also forget about the lack of hope that means for all the people who work there. One of Friends of Bethel, Stacy Ramon, is a corrections officer up in Kenosha County. And thinking about this week, I just wrote to her and I said, Stacy, do you ever feel like the correction officers ever feel kind of forgotten? That we feel safe, that the criminals are locked up, but then we just send you to go do that work? And she said, yeah, we often feel overlooked. We're supposed to go deal with the bad guys. Where if we get hurt on the job because there's something violent happens, that's just, we're supposed to just accept it as part of the job. We're seen as tough, and yet we're the ones who are there listening to the stories and empathizing with them. So when there's an open on the jail sign, it's not just about letting out the prisoners. It's having this hope that we wouldn't need those jails, that people wouldn't have to work there, that we wouldn't have to be trapped in that kind of thing. That's hopeful imagination. And so I want you to practice this week of hopeful imagination. Not just solve one problem or one part of a problem, but hope and believe that Jesus comes to make all things new. He promises that he will. One day he will make all things new. So I want you to take a hopeful picture, whether it's got the reflection or not. I want you to take a hopeful picture, maybe hold up a post-it note and take a picture. You can write hope, okay? And take a picture. Take a picture of a hospital. Take a picture of the PADS office, working with the homeless in Waukegan. Take a picture of a armored car. And all these things, these places are there because we're trying to get some problem solved, right? Hospital, people are sick, people are dying. PADS office, people are homeless. Armored car, trying to protect people's money. But in the midst of that, there's so many other things that are still lingering or creating or created or causing trouble for other people to be stuck in that system. It's not always very hopeful. So could you take these pictures? Could you have this hopeful imagination? Could you see that God has come to truly transform and make all things new in Jesus? He has announced that he's making all things new. Before they spring forth, he has told you of them. Before that last day comes, he has told you of them. What would it mean to walk through life and have that hopeful imagination as you view the people around you? That there is a hope beyond the things that have defined them. There's a hope beyond the things that have defined you. I encourage you to have hopeful imagination. It's what the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has come to do. We can't see how it's all going to work out, how God's going to bring this all about, but he has given you a hopeful imagination. He has made all things new, beginning with you. Amen.